This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number four of VSiN Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Ebbefe alongside Will Hill. And this hour of VSiN Primetime brought to you by Edge Boost. New users sign up with a promo code VSiN, and Edge Boost will match your first deposit up to $50. Head to edgeboost.bet and use promo code VSiN to get started today. As we are final, Will, in Boston, Oklahoma City's win streak of 12 has been snapped by the Boston Celtics. They get it done 119-109, and we're on the board with a winner, baby. Celtics money line gets home for us here on VSiN Primetime. Also in Major League Baseball, the New York Yankees have a 7-0 lead as Logan Webb has been put out of his misery and is no longer on the mound for the San Francisco Giants. But we'll continue to keep our eyes on the NBA and Major League Baseball. But we begin this hour with the Sweet 16 and college hoops. And to kick off this hour, we welcome in college basketball writer for CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports, the great Isaac Trotter, hanging out with us here on VSiN Primetime. And he's on Twitter at Isaac_Trotter. Isaac, thanks for hanging out with us this evening. We really appreciate it. Before we get to the games, I want to get your thoughts on one of the marquee jobs in college basketball, the North Carolina Tar Heels. Of course, Carolina firing Hubert Davis. Where do you think they're going now? What's the best fit for the Tar Heels coming up in the, with their head coaching hire?
There's some really big names on the board. I think I would be focused on three names specifically. I think the first one is Billy Donovan with the Bulls. There's some chances that he could potentially leave the Bulls at the end of the season and would be open to potentially moving back to a job at North Carolina. Obviously, won back-to-back titles at Florida. I think Carolina's X's and O's would be vastly improved. So if they went that route, I think Billy Donovan would make a lot of sense. And then they're also sharp shopping kind of in like the star coaches in college, right? And the two names there are Dusty May from Michigan and Tommy Lloyd from Arizona. Both of those, obviously, it feels like Arizona and Michigan are on a collision course here to meet in the Final Four. But they're both elite at what they do, elite at recruiting, they're elite at recruiting from multiple avenues, right? They've recruited the portal, they've recruited international, they've recruited high school at a very, very high level. And they're kind of at the cutting edge of what the sport of college basketball really is. So those are the two right there. I think if, you know, if Michigan gets, you know, ponies up the big bucks to keep Dusty May in Arizona, like Tommy Lloyd doesn't want to leave the West Coast for the first time in his career, I think you could potentially see Carolina pivot to maybe a guy like Mark Byington at Vanderbilt. But there's no question, everybody in college basketball right now is kind of looking around at that North Carolina opening, wondering what dominoes could open next.
What's your sense? Do they land one of these big fish, or is it another scenario where these fans have their eyes on the Hurleys or the guys you mentioned, then ultimately it's an underwhelming choice? Do you have a gut feeling on ultimately who takes the job?
I think they're going to get somebody awesome. I think they're going to have a big dog that's kind of patrolling the sidelines next year in Chapel Hill. And I think there's some desperation for that brass to make a big time splash. I don't think you get rid of Hubert Davis kind of after the last 5 years, even though they've been a little bit lower. I just don't think you get rid of it without making a huge, huge splash. So I would even look at Grant McCaslin at Texas Tech. I'd still throw TJ Otzelberger from Iowa State into that mix, even though Iowa State's AD came out today and said that TJ will not be leaving. I'll kind of believe that when I fully see that and the pen goes to paper there. But that's, I do kind of feel like Carolina is going to be able to flex on the market here a little bit. They believe they're the number one job in college basketball. They have to put their money where their mouth is, and I believe they will.
Yeah, might have to put the NIL money where their mouth is as well there. Make sure the administration's all on board with everything happening over there in Chapel Hill. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Ebbefe, Will Hill, hanging out with Isaac Trotter, college basketball writer for CBS Sports, 24/7 Sports, and on Twitter at Isaac_Trotter. All right, let's talk about the games coming up starting tomorrow. You mentioned Tommy Lloyd as a potential candidate for that Carolina job. His Arizona Wildcats, the pressure's on. They're taking on this Arkansas team. They have not yet been able to break through this Sweet 16 glass ceiling. Is this the year that they do it? How do you see this game playing out tomorrow night in San Jose?
Yeah, on paper, I just don't see a scenario for Arkansas to hang in this one. Arizona is unbelievably dominant in the paint, and Arkansas's interior defense has been a major, major struggle all year. They also can't defend pick and rolls. That's something Arizona's really good at. Arkansas also struggles on the glass. Arizona's really good at that. So, like, I kind of think the 7.5 is a little bit short. I think you could also look at some team totals for Arizona in that 87.5 range. Arkansas hasn't stopped a nosebleed this year defensively, especially lately. And you kind of look at just this personnel matchup. Like, Arizona loves to play fast. Arkansas wants to play fast. Like, you're just begging this Arizona group to get out in transition and do what they do. So I feel like Arizona is the deepest team as well. That's my final point about this game. You know, Arkansas's front line's a little bit beat up right now. Malik Ewan is healthy, but their backup center, Nick Pringle, is dealing with a right hamstring injury. Having six guys against a deep team like Arizona that's full of grown men is a problem. So I get that Arkansas is talented. I get, you know, you're going to hear stats about, oh, John Calipari is an underdog in NCAA tournament. Like, I totally get those things. But from a pure matchup perspective and X's and O's, I don't see Arkansas hanging in this one.
Duke, St. John's, it feels like St. John's is a little trendy. As someone who has St. John's futures, I'm rooting for St. John's, and I got UConn futures too, so I'd love to get Duke out of there. It makes me nervous. I haven't heard too many people pick Duke yet. That line is still sitting there, 6.5, 7. Hasn't budged too much. Are you on the St. John's brigade, or do you think people are maybe overthinking this and this is going to be the Blue Devils here rolling?
Yeah, the thing that I'm really focused on is, like, St. John's kind of relies on two things to be elite. They love to take – they do takeaways into touchdowns, basically, to use a football analogy, right, with their turnovers that they turn into points. One of the highest percentage of points in the country is based off of takeaways. And then they're so good at second-chance points. That's just hard for me to envision them doing that against Duke. Like, I think they can turn them over. I don't think that they're going to be able to get after them on the offensive glass. And so, like, I look at that game against Kansas, and Bryce Hopkins for St. John's hit 6 threes. His career high before that was 3. They have all of these forced turnovers and score points in transition off of those, like easy buckets. And still, they manage 0.98 points per possession on offense. Like, that's not good enough. And that's not good enough to beat Duke. So that's kind of how I've handicapped this game. I just feel like if Duke can make them play in the half court, which is easier said than done, but if they are able to make them play in the half court, this is just going to be a slog. I think the total, maybe a 142.5 that's been out there in parts of the market, I think an under, and that makes a lot of sense. I think both these teams can really guard each other. As long as it's not a parade to the foul line, as long as this is officiated, you know, pretty well, I think that's pretty live, just because I just don't see an avenue for efficient shots. And St. John's can't beat Duke without scoring points off of turnovers and scoring points off of offensive rebounds. I think they'll do one of those, but I don't think they do two. So I have Duke advancing out of this one. I think, though, that 6.5 is a little inflated. Like, I'm fine with the St. John's plus 6.5, especially in a game that I think is probably going to be a little bit more of a low possession game. I think ideally Duke probably wants to play this in like the 62-63 possession range. So that's why I kind of lean St. John's on the side. But I think Duke wins this outright.
Iowa State is laying 3.5 against Tennessee in the game in Chicago in the Midwest region. Joshua Jefferson, I don't think many people expect him to play in the Sweet 16, but if the Cyclones are able to advance, do you think there's a chance that he could actually play in the regional final if they were to see a Michigan in that regional final? Like, how do you see Friday night playing out? And if they do win, is Jefferson likely going to be playing on Sunday in the Elite Eight?
Well, he's certainly going to try. You know, I think I kind of look at a high ankle sprain like that, and I'm like, man, that's a tough turnaround for him. And, you know, TJ Otzelberger talked to reporters again today about the status, and he basically said that Joshua Jefferson was on a scooter, not putting any pressure on his foot earlier this week, and was able to just get off the scooter today. 48 hours before the game, you're finally off the scooter, finally able to put some pressure on your foot. Like, I know he's going to want to play. I just have a hard time seeing him be able to go without being compromised. And honestly, it's a big loss. Like, what does this mean on the court? Like, I think that Iowa State, like, Joshua Jefferson is their best passer. Joshua Jefferson is arguably the best passing big man in all of college basketball. No player 6'9" or taller averages more assists than Joshua Jefferson. And he makes plays with his right hand. He makes it with the left hand. He has like extreme dexterity with the amount of passes and ability he is able to just kind of like manipulate defenses and find open shots. So especially in this game against Tennessee, like I actually could see a scenario where Iowa State finds a way to win without Jefferson. I still think Tennessee is. If I gun to my head, like, I would pick Tennessee. But if they play Michigan without Jefferson, like, Iowa State is dead on arrival. They have absolutely zero shot of winning that game against that type of defense. I think Michigan's defense would just put the screws in if Jefferson can't go.
Last couple minutes or so, Michigan State versus UConn, Izzo versus Hurley. It's about as good as it gets. Do you have a feel here on who moves on?
Yeah, I lean towards UConn, maybe a little stubbornly. This is a group that I think in the preseason I thought could be the number one offense in all of college basketball. And it was kind of reliant on guys like Braylon Mullins and Solo Ball making shots. They haven't made shots. So, like, that's a concern right now heading into this one. But against Michigan State, Michigan State's defense is very, like, compact. They like to really flood the passing lanes, and you have to beat them over the top. I still think UConn's personnel can do that. Alex Karaman is a 40% three-point shooter for his career. Braylon Mullins is one of the elite freshman shooters in his class. Solo Ball made a ton of threes last year at a great clip. Like, that's, he's capable of that. So I think on paper, UConn shooters can shoot better than what they have so far. And also, Michigan State cannot win this game without playing clean. That's the one underrated subplot with Michigan State this year. They have turned the basketball over a ton. I think UConn can turn them over as well and really guard them. And if Michigan State's, you know, role players are missing threes, I think it's a real chance for UConn to get there. I honestly just think UConn's more talented, And that's kind of the draw here. I think you can kind of, you can make a case for Michigan State. You can make a case for UConn. That's my case for UConn. I'm on UConn money line.
There's a game between Hurley and Izzo, and it feels like the undercard on a Friday, given the fact that we have Duke and St. John's. What a sweet 16 we have on deck. He is Isaac Trotter, college basketball writer, CBS Sports, 24/7 Sports on Twitter at Isaac_Trotter. Isaac, thanks for hanging with us, man. Be well.
Thanks for having me.
That is awesome stuff from Isaac Trotter. This hour of VSIN Primetime brought to you by Edge Boost. Enjoy transfers 24/7 up to 0.5% cash back on eligible deposits.
Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have really gone crazy with this one. I'm being told for just $29.99, you can get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks through the tournament, public betting data for every single game, plus sharp tools, projections, articles, and more, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. All right. Now back to the show.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bepfe, Will Hill, hanging out with you guys on this Wednesday night. Thanks again to Isaac Trotter, CBS Sports, 24/7 Sports college basketball writer, joined us in the last segment. Good stuff there on the North Carolina job and also on the biggest games in the Sweet 16. But I want to remind everybody that this hour of VSiN Primetime is brought to you by Edge Boost. New users sign up with promo code VSiN and Edge Boost will match your first deposit up to $50. Head to edgeboost.bet and use promo code VSiN and get started today. We are keeping tabs on what's happening in Major League Baseball's opening night between the Yankees and the Giants. 7-0 Yankees here in the seventh inning. I'm looking at the total right now. Got as high as, I believe, was it 13.5 or 11.5? Might have been 11.5 is where the total was sitting at one point earlier tonight. But we're down to 8.5 right now. The Yankees, if you want to lay it on the run line, you can lay 6.5 at -194. And if you really believe in the San Francisco Giants, like really believe, that they can come back and win this one, 65-1 is what the payout is on San Francisco as we are in the seventh inning stretch over on Netflix. But so far, Will Hill, you are our resident Yankee fan. So far, so good for the Bronx Bombers.
Yeah, a bunch of hits strung together early on against Webb. And believe it or not, Judge, I believe, 0-4 with four strikeouts.
Golden Sombrero. Hasn't
done much. So Yankees, like I said, strung together some hits, and I believe no home runs yet. I don't think there's been a home run in this game. And you and I have been doing the show.
It's unfortunate.
Just keeping an eye on it. But that's one, if you bet no homer in the game, we usually get some pretty fat odds on those. And you figure 7-0 game, all right, maybe you know somebody hit one at some point, but not the case. Just been a death by a thousand cuts here with the Yankees. Somebody tweeted this. This is at Baseball Pods. I guess you know we're not listening to this, but Barry Bonds, who's doing the telecast, a part of the Netflix coverage, part of the endless Netflix coverage. And if you bet the over on Burt Kirschner, you cash that because they just show him nonstop. Barry Bonds told the story that George Steinbrenner called to offer him a mega deal to join the Yankees back when he was a player, but he had to sign by 2 p.m. Bond said he hung up, went out to grab lunch, and then decided to sign with the Giants. He said, quote, George is dead, so I can tell the story now. So that's one that would have been interesting to picture Bonds in pinstripes. Back when Yankees used to go after all the best players, which they do not do anymore.
I mean, a Bonds, a left-handed hitter at Yankee Stadium, like, jeez. he can only 800 home runs. I mean, like, he could only imagine where he'd be sitting at that one. I mean, I hope that Barry Bonds and like this turns into like a really cool media career for him. Like, because like you said, like, he's known as a curmudgeon. Like, that's kind of his reputation, and it's not a false reputation. I mean, like, we've seen some of the interactions he's had with reporters. It's like, okay, like, doesn't seem like a great hang, but if he's going to give us like nuggets like that and be insightful and use some of his coaching experience as a hitting coach with the Marlins, and this is like the greatest hitter, at least of my lifetime, like, you know, nobody was more feared than Barry Bonds. Like, it'd be cool to like see this turn into an insightful and informative media career. If that's what we get for Barry Bonds, because I love hearing from the legends, just like I love Tom Brady in the booth at Fox, because he's the best that's ever done it at quarterback. I would love to hear Barry Bonds talk baseball, because he's the best that's ever done it, in my opinion, in my lifetime.
And NBC kind of made it seem like we were going to get that out of Jordan this year, but and I haven't watched all the coverage. That has not really materialized. It seems like they taped one interview back during the summer, and they just splice it up and spread it out throughout the year. It's not like MJ sitting on the panel hanging with you, just talking about the game, talking about old stories. It seems very produced, very underwhelming based on what it was sold as.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they taped one interview. They did tape one interview, and they're sprinkling it all throughout the NBA season. I see Michael Jordan more on the NASCAR circuit than I do on NBC's broadcast, which apparently, like, his team is really good, by the way. I don't know. Like, yeah. You know, I don't follow NASCAR. I just see it like every other Sunday pop up, like, oh, Michael Jordan's team won again. I'm just like, do people really care? But hey, good for him, man. MJ, he's a winner at everything, apparently. So I'm sure he's having a lot of fun with that. As someone who is a competition junkie, like he can compete at anything. NASCAR, Go Fish, basketball, like, I'm sure he absolutely loves it. So it is a little bit of a bummer that we didn't get more out of that. MJ's Insights to Excellence is what it is called, the series that NBC is running. I guess it's hard to get Michael Jordan throughout the entire year. You gotta just go out there and get him that one time and give us little dosages throughout the tentpole events on the NBA calendar. That's where we sit right now. We have about 5 minutes left here in this segment, Will. We are running out of time on this edition of VSiN Primetime because we have a lot of great guests and have had a lot of great guests. We have one more coming up, by the way, Chris Vasile over at Covers, to break down the World Cup playoff qualifiers that begin tomorrow with the semifinals. We have the finals coming up next week as well, as we'll finally get the official field in this summer's World Cup. But I wanted to get to some season-long baseball bets that I am eyeing. So I'll preface it by saying this. I talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, might have been in the last hour. Betting MLB awards can be very profitable, but it could also be a very, very long marathon. Like, that's what it is. It is a marathon. And even after the regular season, it takes a long time to cash your tickets. So if I'm making bets at this point in the season, I'm hoping to get some like really, really big odds, or I like to wait for a 30-game sample size or so, somewhere early May, late April, around that range, before I start making bets. But here are some predictions that I have with the upcoming MLB awards. Some of these will be bets this week, but here's what I think is going to happen. I'm going to start off with the big boy stuff. Let's get right to it. Let's no point wasting time. The MVP in the American League, who do I think is going to win the AL MVP? I actually think it's going to be Aaron Judge again, but he's plus 215, so I would never bet that. But Aaron Judge, I think, is going to be your winner. But if you're looking for a dark horse, if you're looking for like a fun bet, dark horse, Gunnar Henderson, I think, could be that dark horse guy. A couple years ago, Gunnar Henderson was making a legitimate run at the MVP, bested by, of course, Aaron Judge. But Gunnar Henderson is a guy that now that he's down to 15-1, as opposed to being like in that 8-1-ish range, I think Gunnar Henderson's an interesting price. Fun long shot bet. Wyatt Langford could be one. Now, he doesn't meet like some of the historical trends that I look for guys to win this award, but Wyatt Langford has a lot of pop, a lot of talent. Can he kind of take that next step at 40-1? Could be fun to kind of try to pay to find out if he has that in him. As for the NL MVP, there's nothing fun here. It's Shohei Ohtani. He's minus 145 for a reason. As long as he's healthy, that's your NL MVP winner. I don't. People could say voter fatigue. No. They're going to vote for Ohtani. Just save your money. AL Cy Young. I think Garrett Crochet is going to be your winner. But in terms of bets, a dark horse. Framber Valdez out there in Detroit now. That could be a guy. I know everyone's looking at Scooble. He's won back-to-back AL Cy Youngs. Framber Valdez is a really consistent pitcher, good pitcher. Like, he's always kind of in that conversation. He's at 22-1. But here's one that I really think is really fun. Like, Framber's a dark horse. I'm not going to bet that right now. I want to see a little bit more, especially with the pitchers. But a fun bet that I think I'm actually going to bet prior to his first start. Luis Castillo of the Seattle Mariners. It feels like he's starting to drift out a little much on the odds board. Right now at DraftKings, he's 65-1. You can find even longer prices out there in the market. This is a guy that was top of the rotation, ace for the Seattle Mariners a couple years ago. Obviously, the young guys, Gilbert and Kirby, those guys have kind of taken a step forward. Wu, Miller, like, the Mariners are loaded in terms of the rotation. But Castillo looked really, really strong in spring training. If he carries that into this season, Mariners obviously have high expectations. I think Castillo could be a really fun bet, and that's a bet that at long prices I will actually make at the start of this season. NL Cy Young, I also think is very fun because I think this guy is dead set on doing things that we have never seen before. I think Shohei's going to win NL Cy Young. Shohei's at 30-1 right now. I think he's the dark horse. It's a fun bet. He's actually the guy I think is going to win the award. Like, he looks dialed in on the mound. I know earlier this week he had another really good performance against the Angels. I get it. It's the Angels, whatever. But if Ohtani's going to give me like 150, 160 innings pitched, I think the voters are going to be really infatuated with the potential of saying we could vote him for MVP and Cy Young because he is a legendary player. Like, that guy is going to win a lot of tiebreakers. So I think Ohtani at 30-1 gives you something fun to root for with this Dodgers season. As for rookie of the year, a couple fun bets. Carson Williams of the Rays is at 45-1. Justin Crawford of the Phillies is at 20-1. That's AL and NL rookie of the year, respectively. We will get to some more of those bets a little bit later on to wrap up the program and also get some of Will Hill's bets for the upcoming regular season. But I want to go ahead and let people know that this hour of VSiN Primetime, once again, is brought to you by Edge Boost. Like, if you're betting on the tournament, you need Edge Boost, the Visa debit card and bank account built for gamers. You're going to get real-time 24/7 transfers, up to 0.5% cash back on eligible deposits, up to $1 million in daily deposit limits. New users sign up with promo code VSiN and get a $50 deposit match on your first deposit. Head to edgeboost.bet and get your edge today. Chris Vasile of Covers joins us next to break down the World Cup playoff qualifiers.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. The good times keep rolling along here on VSiN Primetime. He's Will Hill. I'm Femi Epebefe. We will get back into our MLB season-long bets to wrap up this edition of VSiN Primetime coming up in about 15 minutes as we continue to keep our eyes on opening night in San Francisco. The New York Yankees dominant against the San Francisco Giants as we head to the bottom side of the eighth. Yankees up 7-0. But there's a lot going on in the world of sports this week. We got MLB opening day tomorrow. We have the Sweet 16, the NBA, the NHL that's ramping up. But also tomorrow, we have the World Cup playoff qualifiers to finalize this summer's tournament in North America. USA, Canada, Mexico hosting the world's biggest event. And to help us break down those World Cup playoff qualifiers, we're bringing in a soccer betting analyst over at Covers, the one and only Chris Vasile, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Chris, thanks for hanging out with us late night. We really do appreciate it here on VSiN Primetime. Before we get to tomorrow's qualifiers for the playoffs, I want to take a look at the outright market for the World Cup, where Spain is your favorite at plus 450, folks are still wondering if football is coming home with England at plus 550. You have France, Brazil, Argentina at 8-1. Is there a bet right now to be made in the outright market for the World Cup winner?
Well, Femi, it's time to talk some soccer here. Breaking down the World Cup in June, I think the best bet you could probably make right now it would be Spain outright plus 450. I know that's not an exact sexy price per se. I just think they're the best team in the world. They've got elite young talent littered across the pitch. Obviously, led by Lamine Yamal, great superstar for Barcelona. Just their style of play is conducive to tournament football. We saw how dominant they were at the Euros a few years back. I think they're the best bet on the board. I know the price is a little bit cheap. If you're looking for something a little bit longer than that, I know kind of backing, obviously, the defending champions in Argentina plus 800 might, raise some eyebrows. But they've got pretty much the same roster coming back from that 2022 World Cup triumph. Lionel Messi, once again, featuring prominently. Their defense is solid. They could definitely go a long way with a good group draw. And well as, if they get lucky, kind of in the path to the finals.
When you look at the World Cup, top goal scorer of people that want a little bang for their buck, Mbappe 6-1, Kane 7-1. Do you have anyone in mind? Is it too early? Is there anyone we're taking a shot at?
Yeah, so when you're looking at the Golden Boot, Will, obviously you want somebody that is, on a team that's projected to go deep into the tournament. Obviously, the more games you play, the more chances. You want a player that is, in a group, the group stage that is, kind of has bottom feeder teams that they can kind of build up that, pad those stats a little bit early on. You're looking at guys like Kylian Mbappe. Obviously, he's a match winner on his day. For the France side, he's the penalty kick taker. He kind of, is the focal point on offense there. If you're looking for a little bit of a long shot, I would go kind of Lautaro Martinez for Argentina. As I mentioned, if they're going to go deep, Messi's going to play a big role, but he's featured in to that attack, as the starting striker as well. So he's listed at plus 2,500 right now, which is a pretty solid price for an outsider other than Kylian Mbappe as the favorite.
This is VSiN Primetime, and this VSiN Primetime Hour is brought to you by Edge Boost. New users sign up with promo code VSiN, and Edge Boost will match the first deposit up to $50. Head to edgeboost.bet and use promo code VSiN and get started. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill, hanging out with Chris Vasil of Covers, their soccer betting analyst, as he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. So we have the World Cup coming up this summer, but we have the playoff qualifiers tomorrow, and we're absolutely fired up for that one. I know you have a play on the Italy Northern Ireland match right now on the three-way line. Italy minus 390. You have Northern Ireland at plus 475, the draw at 13-1. How do you see this one playing out tomorrow between Italy and Northern Ireland?
Yeah, Femi, this game hits close to home with Italian heritage as the background. I'd love to say that they're going to go out and win 10-0 and just kind of make it a sweat-free afternoon, kind of put all the past failures at World Cup playoff time to rest. But the best bet, I think, in this game is Italy-Northern Ireland under 2.5 goals at plus 100. When you look at this Italian side, they don't exactly play to win games in these moments. We saw 1-0 loss to Sweden. 1-0 loss to North Macedonia 4 years ago at this exact stage. They play scared. They play under pressure. And that's not conducive to, running up the score against teams that they should beat pretty handily. If you look at this Northern Ireland side, they've finished their last three games with a 1-0 score line. They won one and they lost two of those games as well. They play pretty much five or six guys behind the ball. They're not going to see much possession in this game. If Italy finds their scoring boots and, decides to put four or five past them, that's kind of the way we lose this bet. But I do think they're going to sit back. They're going to, keep Northern Ireland at bay. They're going to, pick their spots at the moment to take up their opportunities. Well, I do think under 2.5 at plus 100 is a good price. They've kept three clean sheets across their last four home games. So I think this is going to be kind of more of a cagey affair where Italy kind of picks and chooses their spots when to attack and kind of starve Northern Ireland possession. I'm calling a 2-0 Italy victory here. So we're going to cash the under.
Chris, before we get back to soccer, the Blue Jays, are Canadians over that game 7, which I still don't know how they lost? Are they excited about this season? What's the outlook here for the Blue Jays?
Oh, man, I can't believe it's baseball season again, Will. I feel like we're still at the end of October and we're all watching and rooting for them and just kind of a little bit starstruck, like deer in the headlights, kind of, if you will. I feel like it's a bit Too soon to talk about the Blue Jays just based on how that season ended. We're definitely excited about, you know, what they could be this year. Could they catch lightning in a bottle again? That's kind of to be determined. Obviously, you know, baseball's a marathon, not a sprint. Would I be happy to see them back in the playoffs making a deep run? Absolutely. Do they have, you know, what it takes to get there? That's always the $1 million question, especially with their pitching core.
Well, that's all cute stuff, Chris, here. I mean, I'm a Seattle Mariners fan, so you can talk about how it's all too soon. I've never seen my team play in the World Series. So get out of here with that nonsense. I'm still not over game seven. Last October, to be quite honest. let's go back to the soccer so we can all stay cordial here. How about Ukraine and Sweden tomorrow? These are two teams that have obviously experienced the World Cup level. One of them, though, advancing over to the finals coming up next weekend. Ukraine. Plus 215, Sweden plus 225, the draw plus 135. So the betting market thinking that this one is pretty evenly matched. Is that how you see it as well?
For sure, Femi. I think this is the most evenly matched game of the eight fixtures tomorrow. These two sides can probably trade chances with each other back and forth, which is why we're going both teams to score yes at minus 125. If you look at this Ukraine side, their biggest strength is their attack. They've netted 10 times across their last two, or they netted 10 times across their last five fixtures, obviously two goals on average per game. Defensively, that's where they have issues. They've only kept one clean sheet across their last 13 matches in all competitions. I know Sweden's missing a couple of key pieces up front with, you know, Alexander Isak, Dejan Kulusevski, but they do have Viktor Gorkiez up front, and he can definitely be a match winner on his day. If you look at this game from kind of a neutral perspective, this game is being played on a neutral field in Spain. So that kind of plays into Sweden's advantage here. They don't have to go into, Ukraine, have a hostile crowd, hooting and hollering at them all game long. They do have a knack for higher scoring games outside of Sweden, going over 2.5 goals in 6 of the last 7 fixtures in all competitions. These two teams are even. They know their opportunity is now to get to the World Cup. You know, got to win that game on Tuesday as well. But I see both these teams trading chances and both finding the back of the net for both teams to score at minus 125.
Chris, last couple minutes. Been following you on Twitter. You've done a nice job here at the NCAA tournament, fading the public, so to speak. Do you have a favorite Sweet 16 bet? And do you have a little insight into what your strategy has been here these first few rounds?
Yeah, so I was listening before I came on here. I was listening to Isaac there. He gave gave a tip of the cap to the Johnnies at +6.5. I think that's definitely worth a look. I think that Duke has kind of been overrated for the first two plus games of the tournament so far. Obviously, they got a bullseye on their shoulders, and I think St. John's has kind of that that tempo of play and that style of play that can trouble Duke. So that's kind of the only bet I've made so far is the Johnnies +6.5. But yeah, it's been an up and down roller coaster, kind of fading the public. We got off to a hot start early on in the tournament, including the play-in games. They kind of bit back a little bit, but we're still tracking it, and we're still doing we're doing okay for ourselves here.
Hey, that's all we can ask. You know what? It's like if you make one penny, it's better than losing, isn't it? He is Chris Vasile.
Exactly.
He is Chris Vasile, soccer betting analyst over at Covers. Make sure you check out all of his work over at McSilly3 on Twitter. Chris, thanks as always for all the bets. We appreciate you. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Femi. Thanks, Will. Appreciate it.
All right, that is Chris Vasile joining us via the Progressive guest line. I mean, this guy's a Blue Jays fan talking to me about heartbreak.
Could you brought Munoz in? You got Munoz, one of the best closers in baseball. It's the seventh inning. I know you don't want to stretch him for 8 or 9 outs. Worry about the ninth inning and the ninth inning. Bring your ace closer in. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The streets have not forgiven Scott Service for that. Dan Wilson for all those shenanigans. Like, it's just unbelievable how that happened. Anyways, this hour of VSiN Primetime brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is going to give you all the real-time access to fund all of your stuff 24/7, 365, even on nights and weekends. New users use promo code VSiN and Edge Boost will match your first deposit up to $50. Edgeboost.bet. Use promo code VSiN to get started today.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the final segment of VSiN Primetime, but we should remind everyone that this hour of VSiN Primetime has been brought to you by Edge Boost. New users sign up with promo code VSiN, and Edge Boost will match your first deposit up to $50. Head to edgeboost.bet and use promo code VSiN to get started today. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill, hanging out with you guys here on this Wednesday night. Thank you to Chris Vasile of Covers, who joined us in the last segment to break down tomorrow's World Cup playoff qualifiers. I'm very excited for the World Cup this summer. Legitimately, Will, the World Cup is actually my favorite sporting event on the calendar because we only get it once every 4 years. Like, I love, like, come this summer, I will be watching all of those games. I love it. The pageantry, the passion, like, just the intensity of the whole thing. Like, even these group match games that are not, like, especially in the early going, do or die or whatever, it's treated like it is because, hey, for a lot of these guys, they might have only played in one World Cup in their career. So it's like, you got to make it count the time that you're actually out there. So, and the fact that now it's in the United States and Canada and Mexico, so the time zone will be with more aligned with what when we're awake or when we're doing things and we're functioning, I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun this summer. So very much looking forward to that.
Was it in November last time?
Yeah, because it was in Qatar.
Has that really been 4 years already?
Yeah.
So it was, what, November of 2022? It's hard to believe that was 4 years ago, and I can remember the one in 2018. It's just, man, I know I say this a lot. Time is just flying by. To think of that 2018 World Cup, I can remember watching some of those games and et cetera, and, man, 8 years ago. We are getting old very quickly here.
It is pretty wild. Like, 2018 was in Russia. 14 was the Brazil one. That was when Germany scored the 7 goals against Brazil in the semifinal, which, like, is still one of, like, the more, like, if you want to be in a stadium where no one wants to be there anymore, that it was that stadium. Like the tears that were flowing, an entire stadium just in utter just, like, shock of saying, wow, we're the host nation and we are getting ran off the field, literally, by this German team as the goals just kept pouring in one after another, and Germany went on to go ahead and win the World Cup over Lionel Messi in Argentina. But Messi got his moment last time in Qatar as he finally was able to lift the World Cup trophy. So hopefully the United States can make some awesome moments. Probably not. Getting out of the group stage will be the goal, and if we do that, I'm assuming all will be well. If we don't, then we'll panic. But that's a conversation for a few months from now. Our VSiN primetime game of the night here, Will, has been lopsided. The New York Yankees have a 7-0 lead and are 3 outs away from putting the polishing touches, final touches, I should say, on game number 1 of the season after we got that error from Jose Caballero, former Mariners great. So maybe Anthony Volpe is smiling somewhere watching that at shortstop, as if he's going to be making plays like that, Anthony Volpe's job will be just safe for him, and he will be back into that lineup for the Bronx Bombers.
Pretty routine play, too, which that was not well hit. And some of these balls, they're hit really hard, and you think, oh, man, how could you blow that? It's like, man, these guys are hitting the ball pretty well. That one was just a slow roller, and it ate him up somehow. So you're thinking, I'm sure some people are thinking, well, who cares? It's a 7-0 game. A lot of places, I believe the total was 7. So if you had that under, that's kind of a helpless feeling where you get that 7th run and you're sitting there for another hour, another 4 or 5 innings, sweating, and the best you could do is for a push. But hey, a push beats a loss, and you're now 3 outs away from at least getting your money back, and not the way you want to start a 7-0 game. Just go 1 out, nobody on, and have a clean, quick 9th inning, and now you worry about, like, them giving them the second base on defensive indifferent, things like that. So we'll see here. Lee up at the plate, 0-for-3 on the night. Nobody out, 1 on. And this looks like it is Doval, the former Giant, former All-Star closer here for the Giants, in for the Yankees. Obviously not a save opportunity, but the Yankees, without any home runs, without doing much from Judge here, pretty much wire to wire led this thing 7-0, or lead this thing 7-0 right now.
Yeah, Judge 0-for-5, 4 strikeouts, not how he wanted to start this MLB regular season, but as we always say, it's early. like this is just a blip on the radar, and nothing to panic about. Now, if he does this for 60 games, then yeah, you're gonna panic. But I remember to go into the Wayback time machine of 2 years ago when Aaron Judge didn't really have much of a spring training that season, and like that March and April, he was bad and drifted out to 25-1 to win AL MVP.
Yes.
And after about a couple of games of him in May starting to look like himself, I was like, okay, now it's time to fire. And pretty much was betting Judge for like a month straight. And yeah, it was a hell of a MLB season. I'll put it that way. That was a lot of fun. So like sometimes like these guys get off to slow starts. Don't read too much into that. They will heat up and they'll get going because usually water finds its level in Major League Baseball. All right, real quick, let's get some of these like season-long awards and season-long bets that we have and predictions for this MLB season. I was talking about it a little bit earlier this hour, going through some of the stuff that I have. Last ones for me here, Will, before I turn it over to you. Manager of the Year. I love Coach of the Year awards in all sports just because it's subjective. And I think when it's things are subjective, it's harder for the betting market to price them properly, which gives us the leg up as bettors. But for AL Manager of the Year, the guy I think is going to win it is actually Matt Quatrero for the Royals. He's at plus 950. But a fun bet, I'm telling you, man, we say it every year, and sometimes it doesn't come to fruition. And recently it really hasn't. But the Tampa Bay Rays, like I know like they're not good on paper and the rest of the division looks really strong, but if the Rays were ever something this year, Kevin Cash at 18-1, I think is an interesting, fun bet to sweat in AL Manager of the Year. On the NL side, Vitello of the Giants, if they turn to something, he's at plus 950. That is a guy that I think that could actually win this award. From a betting standpoint, who I would look to identify, I look at Ollie Marmol of the Cardinals. Like, I don't believe that the Cardinals are just going to continue to be just this bad. I don't think they're going to be this bad for forever, man. I'm so glad you made that sound because if you're...
Ooh, I'll do it again. I'm going to do it one more time.
Please, a third time. If your Coach of the Year bet doesn't make you feel that way, or Manager of the Year bet or whatever the hell they want to call it, if your bet doesn't make you feel that way, you're doing it wrong. Because you want to bet on people who will surprise. Because when those surprises happen, everyone takes notice. And that's why he's at 22-1 right now for the St. Louis Cardinals. Like I'm telling you, 2 years ago, I said Kevin O'Connell. Everyone's like, oh, Sam Darnold. And Kevin O'Connell at 25-1 cash. So like, if your bet makes you feel good at Coach of the Year, you're doing it wrong.
It's a good point. Could I interest you? And they're kind of a buzzy team. Don Kelly, the Pirates manager, they haven't made the playoffs in forever. They're never good. They've gotten a little love in the market. I believe in January, they're like 72.5. They've been bent all the way up to 78.5.
Yeah.
I really think if you're going to get, instead of going over 78.5, if you're going to go over 78.5, you're probably going to be in the 80s. If you're going to be in the 80s, you're going to have a shot at a wild card. If they made the playoffs, even as a wild card, and if they ever won the division, he's probably going to win it. I don't know. He's in that 12-14-1 range. Shop around, of course. Would you buy Kelly? Do you believe the narrative is there? Is that price enough for you?
It's not enough because he's actually now at some domestic sports books the favorite at plus 750. Like I think a lot of people have started to catch on to like this Pirates thing, and we had Jake Hassan on earlier, and he says that he liked the Pirates to win the division at a pretty big price. Like they seem like the buzzy team this year, so like I don't think that would hurt his candidacy. Like if they actually fulfilled those expectations, I think he would win the award because he's already on the radar. But it's just those kind of teams and like those coaches I look to avoid. I mean, think about like Ben Johnson with the Chicago Bears, if you want to take it to the NFL. Now you could also say Mike Vrabel with the Patriots. They were sort of a buzzy team. He got home rather easily after winning 14 games. But those kind of guys usually don't win the award because you can go down a long list of, oh, we expect you to be good. And then you're not good and you just kind of go by the wayside.
Makes sense. It certainly makes sense. I didn't realize he was down to plus 750. Those are awards. I don't think those are awards I can bet here in Connecticut. So I've just looked on offshore and haven't looked within the last week or two. I saw in that 12-1 range though, not that long ago. So that one has taken some movement. By the way, we do have a final here in San Francisco. Yankees 7, Giants nothing. The Yankees 1-0. The Giants 0-1. I believe these teams are off tomorrow. So that must be pretty nice. I'm looking at these guys, Stanton and Freed. That's got to be a pretty nice feeling when you're a Major League Baseball player. It's, 8 o'clock out there.
Yeah.
You're off the rest of the night. You don't have a game tomorrow. You can go out to dinner. You can have a nice night. That must be a good feeling to be a Major League player to have an off day after a win like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some good eats out there in San Francisco. You know, I'm sure you can go ahead and hit up a spot or whatever. So they earned it as they win this one. A touchdown, extra point, good for the New York Yankees. 7-0. Over the San Francisco Giants. As that does it for us here on VSiN Primetime. Any final thoughts heading into Sweet 16, I should say, coming up tomorrow?
I hope the lack of upsets, the lack of drama, I hope we get paid back with that, because the first few rounds, Iowa beating Florida saved it. St. John's over Kansas was fun, but the first few days of the tournament, not as much fun as they used to be, but maybe we'll get paid back with it this weekend.
I think we will. I think we got nothing but bangers tomorrow, Friday, and then Elite Eight Saturday and Sunday, and I'm looking forward to all of it. That does it for us here, for Will Hill, for our entire crew behind the glass, Corey York, our producer. I'm Femi Bebface, and good luck with the bets. Cashing out with Dustin Sweetelson.